Chapter 3. Lan Wangji had just sat down for his afternoon meditations when he felt a sudden wash of panic from the other end of the bond.
"What is it?"
he demanded. The mess of thoughts and response was jumbled even for Wei Wuxian.
"Jiao Jiao, sixth little brother, kite that looked like the sun."
As complex and chaotic as they were, the thoughts were more than enough to give Lan Wangji the idea. He rocketed to his feet and ran, disregarding the discipline against noise in cloud recesses, to the Hanshe. Lan Xichen and Lan Qiren were both there, and they both looked alarmed as he bolted in.
"Lotus Pier is being attacked by the Wen sect," he reported breathlessly.
Lan Xichen got to his feet, his face a shade paler. It was clear that all three of them were thinking the same thing. The Lan sect hadn't been able to fend off the Wen soldiers, and it was highly doubtful that Jiang sect would fare any better, especially with Jiang Fengmian away.
"I'll assemble some disciples, but..."
Lan Wangji couldn't bear to hear the second half of the sentence. He didn't know if Lan Xichen was going to point out that there was no way they could get there in time, or if that their additional forces were going to be little help. Either way, it didn't matter. Lan Xichen was right on both points.
"I cannot wait. It will take days to get there as it is."
"Wangji,"
Lan Xichen said, then shocked both his brother and his uncle by holding out Shouyue.
"Ride the sword."
Lan Wangji grasped Shouyue's hilt and gave his brother a second look to be sure. Lan Xichen nodded, and Lan Wangji said,
"Thank you."
"Be careful," Lan Xichen said.
Lan Wangji nodded, and Shouyue sped upwards.
"Lan Chen, listen, I won't try to talk you out of coming, but it's still going to be at least a few hours before you can get to us, so..."
Wei Wuxian's thoughts were chaotic as he tried to pay attention to what was happening and talk to Lan Wangji at the same time. His sentence broke off abruptly. There was a blinding, sizzling flash of pain. Lan Wangji was falling. He startled back to himself before he had fallen more than about a dozen feet, but it was still a shock. The pain had jolted him so badly that he had momentarily lost control of Shouyue. His grasp on it was not as good as it was on Beechen. While Beechen might have continued onward without his conscious command, Shouyue did not. He quickly steadied himself, and then the pain hit again.
"Wei Ying."
"I'm fine,"
Wei Wuxian replied, but he clearly wasn't fine, and it took Lan Wangji a few moments to realize that the pain wasn't from anything one of the Wen soldiers had done, but from Yu Ziyuan's Zi Jian. His breath caught in his throat.
"Just, if I let her do this, maybe they'll be satisfied. Maybe they'll leave."
It was a fool's hope, and they both knew it. Wang Lingjiao wasn't going to be satisfied by anything but Wei Wuxian's head on a platter after what he had done in the cave. The question was whether or not Yu Ziyuan would give it to her.
"If it keeps the peace, then losing one hand is worthwhile,"
Wei Wuxian thought. And Lan Wangji nearly lost control of Shouyue again.
"You can't let them chop off your hand,"
he replied without meaning to, the intensity of the fear too strong to hold back.
"But Lan Chan, if she doesn't give them what they want, then they'll..."
Everything turned into chaos. Lan Wangji had to struggle to shut Wei Wuxian out as much as possible, even as he hated doing it, to stay in control. He wanted to be with him, to provide comfort and reassurance, but he couldn't do that and maintain the speed he wanted to. Besides, what comfort or reassurance could he really offer?
"Lan Chan, stop riding the sword! You need to get down!"
Wei Wuxian shouted.
What? Why?
Lan Wangqi demanded.
Because...
Wei Wuxian's internal monologue was panicked, fragmented, thinking more in the images and concepts that Lan Wangqi normally did than his own usually chatty style. Lan Wangqi saw an image of himself unconscious, plummeting to earth, and the terrified words that followed.
We don't know what will happen to you if I'm killed!
Lan Wangqi realized he was right. If Wei Wuxian died, he would likely black out at minimum. If he was still in the air when that happened, he was as good as dead. Grim determination seized him, and he pushed Shouyue even harder.
Then survive,
he commanded Wei Wuxian.
I would rather risk falling than leave you alone.
Lan Chan!
Wei Wuxian's thoughts broke off again as someone seized him by an arm. Lan Wangji felt his heart leap into his mouth, but it wasn't one of the Wen. It was Yu Ziyuan. She grabbed both Wei Wuxian and Jiang Cheng and lifted them above the fighting, flung them onto a boat, restrained them with Zijian. I hate you so much, she said to Wei Wuxian. And the pain that split Wei Wuxian's heart in two brought tears to Lan Wangji's eyes. Look at the disaster you've brought to our clan. With that, she kicked the boat free to start the journey down the river. Take care of Acheng, she shouted as they struggled against Zijian. Lan Wangji took a deep breath. At least Wei Wuxian was safe now. In pain, struggling, terrified, but safe. Lan Wangji could focus on Shouyue and on getting to Wei Wuxian as quickly as possible. Not that Wei Wuxian was making it easy with his riot of thoughts and emotions.
Breathe, Wei Ying,
Lan Wangqi told him.
Breathe with me. Inhale. Hold. Exhale.
He continued to narrate his own breathing over the sound of Wei Wuxian's frustrated, desperate tears. After a little while, Wei Wuxian fell into the mantra with him, letting Lan Wangqi's calm determination soothe him. If only a little. They met Jiang Fengmian, but he didn't release them, instead tying Jiang Yanli in with them and sending them to continue on down the river while he rushed to his wife's defense. Eventually, Zijian released them. Wei Wuxian and Jiang Cheng rushed around looking for paddles, and when unable to find them, broke the benches off the sides to use instead.
Wei Ying, what are you doing?
Lan Wangqi demanded.
You can't go back there. Don't you know what you're going to find?
I know, but I have to. How can I not?
Wei Wuxian cried as he dug into the water as hard as he could.
There's still a chance. Jiang Shushu, Yu Furen, they're strong. They might have been able to...
Fight an army by themselves?
Shut up!
Wei Wuxian screamed, and Lan Wangqi felt as if he'd been slapped. Shouyue rocked in the air, and he had to fight for balance.
You don't know! You don't know they're dead! You don't know that! The Wen sect attacked Cloud Recesses, but your brother and uncle survived. You don't know that they're dead!
Lan Wangqi fought the onslaught of emotions as much as he could, but eventually had to drop down to the ground. He couldn't stay in control.
Wei Ying, you have to calm down.
How can I calm down when...
Please.
Lan Wangqi tried to project a picture of himself, curled up on the forest floor, struggling under the weight of Wei Wuxian's mind.
I can't control the sword like this. How can I get to you if I can't ride the sword?
Silence from the other end. But not silence. Wordless thought. Pain, horror, anguish. Then, a splinter. It had dug into Wei Wuxian's hand from the rough piece of wood he was using. He focused on that, on the simple pain in his hand, shutting out all the other emotions. Focused on the rhythmic strokes of the paddle. Lift up, push back. Lift up, push back. Lan Wangji found himself able to breathe again.
I'm sorry,
he whispered to Wei Wuxian's mind.
I'm sorry.
Lift up, push back. Lift up, push back.
I'm sorry too,
Wei Wuxian said. Lan Wangji lifted himself into the air again.
If you're going back, then you must be careful. Don't charge in. Hide yourselves. Assess the situation before making a move. If their forces have taken control, wait for me. All right? Do you promise?
Lift up, push back.
I promise.
Lift up, push back. Agony. Lan Wangji was forced to land a second time when Wei Wuxian got back to Lotus Pier, when he saw the bodies of his parents laid out, the bodies of his sect brothers and sisters, even the children. He curled up at the foot of a tree and hugged his knees to his chest, shuddering until the pain had hardened into something else. Rage.
Wait for me,
Lan Wangji said.
You promised.
I will wait.
Wei Wuxian's voice was different. Colder.
I can't kill them by myself, and I know it. I have to make taking care of Jiang Cheng and Shuqia the priority. But when you get here...
His thoughts washed with blood.
When I get there,
Lan Wangji promised. For the next several hours, Wei Wuxian's only thoughts were vivid, detailed fantasies about what he was going to do to Wen Chao, Wen Chuliu, and Wang Lingjiao. Lan Wangji didn't exactly enjoy being on the other end of those, but at least they were keeping Wei Wuxian occupied. After a while, he dropped into an exhausted sleep. Lan Wangji wasn't thrilled with the fact that Wei Wuxian and Jiang Cheng had chosen to sleep in the middle of a field, but he didn't want to wake Wei Wuxian, and honestly he wasn't sure if he would have been able to anyway. The next morning they collected their sister, and Wei Wuxian ushered his two charges into an inn room. Lan Wangji listened while he got them both settled in, and his concern about Jiang Yinli's fever... He needed medicine for her and food for all of them.
Don't go out there. They'll be looking for you. I'm nearly there. Another hour at most. Stay safe. I'll get what you need and bring it to you.
Okay,
Wei Wuxian whispered, before curling up in the corner of the room. Upon reaching the city, Lan Wangji saw he had been absolutely correct. There were dozens of Wen soldiers patrolling the streets. He kept his head held high and avoided their gaze. He was unsure if they would recognize or target him, but they didn't. He bought some food and the medicine Wei Wuxian needed and looked for the inn he had seen in Wei Wuxian's thoughts.
What room are you in?
He asked, and felt Wei Wuxian jolt back to awareness.
Up the stairs, second door on the right.
Wei Wuxian's mental voice edged towards desperation.
Are you here?
Yes.
Lan Wangji went up the stairs and carefully slid the door open. No sooner had he stepped inside than Wei Wuxian had flung himself into his arms. Lan Wangji held him as tightly as he could, letting Wei Wuxian clutch at him and bury his face in Lan Wangji's hair. One hitching sob shook him, then another. He rubbed his back and hummed softly to him, aware of the other two in the room, but not really caring.
I'm sorry, Wei Ying. I'm so sorry.
After several minutes had gone by, Wei Wuxian's tears trailed off. He pulled away and wiped his eyes with the back of his hand. You must be tired, he said, his voice raw and hoarse. You rode the sword all night.
I'm fine,
Lan Wangji said. He pushed a pork bun into Wei Wuxian's hands.
Here, eat.
Wei Wuxian nodded and tore into it, taking a second and giving it to Jiang Cheng, who just held it in his hands and stared at it. Lan Wangji began to make tea so he could give Jiang Yinli the medicine. He tried to shut out as much of Wei Wuxian's agony as he could, while Wei Wuxian attempted to coax Jiang Cheng into eating.
My brother said he was going to gather some disciples, but...
But what does it matter now?
Wei Wuxian didn't look at him.
Even everything left of the Lan sect doesn't have enough people to take back Lotus Pier. Qinghe is occupied territory, so it's not safe there either. We need to get to Lan Ling. It's the only safe place left, and even there might not be safe long.
Lan Wengji nodded.
Do you know how your father's meeting with Jin Zongju went?
No, but Shuqie will, since she was with him.
All right.
They would have to stay until her fever was gone, in any case. Lan Wengji frowned as Wei Wuxian knelt next to the bed and gently roused Jiang Yanli so she could take the medicine. He remembered Jiang Yanli being sick several times at Cloud Recesses as well, and wondered why she was so fragile.
Don't think about my Shuqie that way!
Wei Wuxian snapped.
She's not fragile, she's just delicate. Which is another word for fragile.
A sob shook his shoulders and he choked it back.
Fuck, Lan Chan, I can't.
Lan Wengji knelt beside him, squeezing his shoulder.
It's fine,
he thought deliberately, even though nothing was fine. He saw Jiang Yanli's eyes open, then widened slightly.
Han Guanjun, she said softly. How did you...
Please, drink,
Lan Wengji said, putting the cup of tea in her hands. Wei Wuxian looked up at this and tried to smile at his sister.
Ah, how lucky that Lan Chan came to find us, hmm? He went out and got some medicine for your fever and some food for all of us. Once you're feeling better, we'll go back to Lan Ling.
Jiang Yanli nodded and drank the tea without complaint, then closed her eyes. Wei Wuxian squeezed her hand and then knelt beside Jiang Cheng.
Jiang Cheng, you have to eat. Come on.
We have to go back, Jiang Cheng whispered. They had Mom and Dad, their bodies, they were...
Don't think about that right now, Wei Wuxian said. Hey, we won't be able to go back if you don't have some food. Rebuild your strength, okay? So eat. Hung Guanjun went and bought food for us. It would be ungrateful if you didn't.
Jiang Cheng stared at him for a moment, then nodded and took a bite. The taste of the food seemed to revive him somewhat, and he ate three of them before curling up and passing out. Wei Wuxian tucked a blanket around his shoulders. Then he picked up the bag of food and ate what was left.
Stop it, he muttered. Stop thinking at me about how sad and pathetic I look. I know I look terrible, okay?
Lan Wengji looked away.
It's not that you look bad. It's that I want to help. And yet, there is nothing I can offer.
Wei Wuxian managed a wan smile.
Hey, you already helped. Food, see? I feel better already. Now, you can keep watch while I get a little bit of sleep, and then you can get some sleep while I keep watch.
Lan Wengji nodded, feeling some of the tension ease from his shoulders. He sat down by the window, and Wei Wuxian immediately sprawled out next to him, putting his head in Lan Wengji's lap.
I'm really glad you're here, Lan Chan, he murmured.
Before Lan Wengji could even think of a reply, he was asleep. Wei Wuxian only slept for a few hours before the bad dreams started, and Lan Wengji shook him awake before they could get worse. He sat bolt upright, shoulders heaving for breath, and covered his face with shaking hands. Only the solid reassurance of Lan Wengji beside him,
I am here, you are safe, I am here,
kept him from having a complete breakdown. They made a fresh pot of tea. Jiang Cheng and Jiang Yanli continued to sleep. Wei Wuxian could feel Lan Wengji's reluctance to leave him the only one awake in the room, but reminded him that he needed the rest as well. He took the seat by the window. About an hour later, Jiang Yanli started to stir. Wei Wuxian carefully eased Lan Wengji out of his lap
and went over to the bed. "How are you feeling?" he asked her, gently touching her forehead with the back of his hand. Her fever was lower, but still not gone. "I'll make you another dose of the medicine." She nodded.
"Thank you, Asian."
He mixed it into the tea and gave it to her to drink.
"Shutjie, what happened with Jin Zongju?"
"Father didn't say much," she said, and Wei Wuxian closed his eyes. "Jin Zongju took in sect leader Yao and his wounded disciples. He said we were welcome to join him for protection whenever we needed it, but I think he was hesitant to take any direct action."
"Son of a bitch probably thinks Wen Rohan will leave him alone, as long as he doesn't stick his nose in," Wei Wuxian said, then saw Jiang Yanli flinch.
"I'm sorry, I shouldn't use such language in front of you."
"It's fine."
She reached out and smoothed down his hair.
"Thank you for taking care of me and Acheng."
Wei Wuxian wiped his eyes.
"I know we should go to Lanling, but I want to go to Gusu. I know it's occupied and it won't be safe, but the Lan sect has at least taken back Cloud Recesses. We can hide there, at least for a little while."
Jiang Yanli nodded and looked over at where Lan Wangji was sleeping, his hands folded on his chest like a toy soldier.
"Asian, how is it that Han Guanjun came to be here? Was he coming to see you?"
"Sort of,"
Wei Wuxian managed a slight smile.
"In truth, when we fought Xuan Wu, its hearing was very good. We couldn't talk or it would know where we were, so Lan Chun did a spell of silent communication, but for some reason it didn't wear off the way it was supposed to. So we could still speak even after we were separated."
"How interesting," Jiang Yanli said.
Wei Wuxian nodded. A part of him wanted to tell her about the rest of it, about how Lan Wangji actually liked him and how he liked Lan Wangji in return, how he had been planning to go to Cloud Recesses already, and how Lan Zichen thought this had happened because they were cultivation partners. He decided to let it wait so he could tell Jiang Cheng as well. "So when the Wens showed up, Lan Chen immediately left Cloud Recesses to come to our aid, even knowing that he wouldn't get there in time to stop anything from happening. He rode the sword all night to get to us."
"He's an amazing person," Jiang Yanli said.
She could apparently fill in all the blanks Wei Wuxian was leaving, because she touched his cheek and said,
"You are very lucky, Asian."
Wei Wuxian felt his cheeks flush, but he nodded.
"So, once you're feeling better, we'll go back to Gusu, and I guess we'll figure out what to do from there."
Jiang Yanli nodded and closed her eyes. Night fell. Wei Wuxian argued with Jiang Cheng for over an hour about whether or not they could go back to Lotus Pier to retrieve the bodies of their parents.
"It's not that I don't want to," Wei Wuxian said repeatedly. "I wish we could, but it's too dangerous. Jiang Cheng, you know that. Jiang Shushu and Yu Furen didn't want us to be in danger even to help save their lives. They certainly wouldn't want us in danger to save their bodies."
Jiang Cheng would agree for a while and then start to get antsy about it, and the argument would start all over again. Lan Wangji fought his own frustration, and he could tell that Wei Wuxian was getting restless and claustrophobic. He was already so bad at being pent up in small spaces. This was a special kind of torture for him. The medicine was helping Jiang Yanli, however, and they agreed they would leave in the morning. Lan Wangji wasn't sure that, tactically speaking, going back to Gusu was the best decision. But he far preferred it over Lanling, so he agreed. He was happy to lay this at the feet of his brother and uncle and see what they thought should be done next.
"Ugh, I'm so hungry,"
Wei Wuxian thought.
"We shouldn't have eaten all the food at once, and we didn't even leave any for Shirtje."
He looked up as Lan Wangji stood, his face and thoughts a simple question mark.
"I'll bring back something to eat," Lan Wangji said.
I'm sorry, Wei Wuxian said. You have to take care of us.
It's fine, Lan Wangji said. That's why I came. I will get supplies for our journey as well. Keep watch while I'm gone.
Wei Wuxian nodded and went to the window. Lan Wangji hesitated slightly as he headed for the door, thinking about how recognizable he was, about how Wen Chao didn't have any reason to like him better than he liked Wei Wuxian. For a long moment, he stood there, considering.
Lan Chan, Wei Wuxian whispered, in that reverent tone he used when he could feel how Lan Wangji felt about him and was stunned by it.
Decision made, Lan Wangji unfastened his forehead ribbon and handed it to Wei Wuxian, placing it in his hand, and then closing his fingers around it.
Keep this safe for me until I get back.
Wei Wuxian nodded, a few tears spilling over. I will, he promised. Feeling naked without it, but nonetheless determined, Lan Wangji headed out onto the street. 2 minutes later, he was in a shop, and he heard Wei Wuxian's sharp sense of alarm.
What is it?
Wen soldiers, on the street.
Already?
Lan Wangji cursed.
I must have been recognized this morning. They were just waiting for me to leave. Don't do anything. I'm on my way back.
It's too late,
Wei Wuxian replied, and Lan Wangji could feel his grim determination as Wen Chao kicked down the door of their room. Hear him shout, Jiang Cheng, take Shuqia and go! Don't argue, just go! Keep her safe! Lan Wangji ran. Wei Wuxian fought. Lan Wangji skidded around the corner closest to the inn when he felt Wen Chuliu grab Wei Wuxian's throat with one hand. Crushing pain, agony unlike anything he'd ever known. He didn't know who was screaming, Wei Wuxian or himself. His legs gave out underneath him and he collapsed to the ground, clutching Shouyue, his whole body convulsing.
Han Guanjun!
Someone yelled. Blackness. For several long minutes, Lan Wangji was only aware of pain. It was everywhere. In his head, in his chest, in his stomach. The entirety of his body, mind, and spirit were being consumed by it. Then a soft voice said,
Ah, I think he's waking up.
And a cloth dabbed at his forehead. Memory came back in a rush, and he shuddered into an upright position.
Wei Ying,
he gasped out.
Easy, Han Guanjun, please.
He looked over at Zheng Yan Li, his entire body still shaking.
Where? How?
Jiang Cheng sat down next to him. He realized they were in the forest, hidden amongst dense foliage. It was almost entirely dark, but with just a bit of light from the moon.
We were running from Wen Chao. We found you collapsed by the inn. I don't know what had happened to you, so I picked you up and brought you with us.
Although Lan Wangji was glad to see that Jiang Cheng had broken out of his stupor, he was less pleased with the results.
But Wei Ying,
he told me to take care of Ajie. Jiang Cheng said, his jaw set in a stubborn expression. But then he ducked his head and admitted,
But there was nothing I could have done to help him anyway.
Lan Wangji stared at him for a long second. Then he turned inwards.
Wei Ying.
Nothing.
Wei Ying.
Nothing. Lan Wangji took in a ragged breath. There was not the tiniest inkling of Wei Wuxian at the other end of their connection. He was gone. The pain was about to swallow him whole.
Han Guanjun,
Jiang Enli said, tears trickling down her cheeks.
Can you hear him? He told me about the spell you did, that you could hear him after you two separated. Can you hear him now?
No,
Lan Wangji whispered. Jiang Yan Li turned away with a sob, hiding her face in Jiang Cheng's shirt. He hugged her tightly,
his eyes squeezing shut as he fought to hold back his own tears.
What?
Jiang Cheng's voice broke, and he had to restart the sentence.
What do we do now?
Lan Wangji's numb mind could hardly consider it. The shock of Wei Wuxian suddenly being gone from his mind had rendered him almost entirely unable to think.
Home,
he said, his voice shaking.
I have to go home.
He touched his bare forehead, remembering that he had given Wei Wuxian his ribbon. Agony squeezed at his throat, and he doubled over, fighting against the urge to vomit.
May we go with you?
Jiang Yanli asked. And if it was a bit of a silly question, he didn't blame her. None of them were up to standard right now. She needed reassurance. He managed a nod for her. Of all of them, Jiang Cheng was in the best shape. Jiang Yanli still had a fever. Lan Wangji wasn't sure what exact psychic damage would result in having one's soulmate ripped out of their mind, but it couldn't be good. The world just felt subtly wrong, turned at a strange angle, fading in and out of his vision. Jiang Cheng helped him to his feet, and he could barely remember how to walk. He stumbled. Jiang Cheng kept him on his feet, and he grabbed at Jiang Cheng's arm, as if it were Wei Wuxian's, not thinking.
What is it?
Jiang Cheng asked, frowning.
Are you dizzy? Wei Ying,
he whispered.
Anjun? Are there?
Wei Ying!
Lan Wangji stumbled again, and both Jiang siblings kept him on his feet. He was too stunned to keep his thoughts internal.
Where are you?
Don't know. Dark. Cold. They took me. Or threw me.
Hearing Wei Wuxian's thoughts again, as disjointed and terrified as they were, brought some semblance of control back to Lan Wangji. He took a deep breath and centered himself.
Breathe, Wei Ying. Breathe with me. Inhale. Hold. Exhale.
What's happening? Jiang Cheng said.
Wei Ying is awake,
Lan Wangji said.
But he doesn't know where he is. It's harder than normal to hear him. I'm not sure why that would be.
What happened just before you collapsed? Jiang Cheng asked. His voice was tight. When Chu Liu was there, did he touch Wei Wuxian?
Yes, Lan Wangji whispered. And it hurt. Pain worse than I'd ever known.
Jiang Cheng turned his face away and said in a ragged voice,
core-melting hand. No.
Lan Wangji thought, unable to help the visceral wave of denial.
No, please no. Not Wei Ying, not his golden core.
But it made sense. The pain plus his own body's reaction to it. He had felt Wei Wuxian's pain at being whipped with Zijian, but it hadn't knocked him out. And Zijian was a powerful weapon. This had been on a different level entirely. It would explain why their bond had deteriorated too, if it had been linking their golden cores. He was lucky that it was still active at all.
Wei Ying,
he thought, deliberately and loudly.
Can you hear me?
Hear you,
a tiny voice whispered back.
I need you to focus. Focus all your energy on the bond, on getting through to me. Your spiritual power levels might be low, so you're not coming through clearly. What do you remember about where they took you?
There was a silence so long that he worried Wei Wuxian had pushed too hard and passed out.
They took me up on their swords, but I don't know for how long. I was unconscious most of...
His voice started to fragment again.
Cold here. I've never... before.
all right?
Lan Wangji said.
Is anyone there with you? Are you safe?
Full energy. It hurts.
Breathe with me, Wei Ying. Breathe.
Silence.
Cold.
Wei Wuxian whispered.
Lan Chan, I'm so cold. I'm so...
Silence. Lan Wangji shook his head in frustration.
I don't know if it's because of his emotional state or his spiritual power level, but either way, he's not getting through well enough for me to figure out where he is. He just keeps saying he's cold. He can't really give a description.
Jiang Cheng's jaw set. Then we're going to have to go to Lotus Pier and ask. The idea was ludicrous, that they could just march back into occupied territory, find Wen Chao, and demand to know what he had done to Wei Wuxian. Lan Wangji was using a sword that wasn't his. Jiang Cheng didn't have one at all, but instead had his mother's Zijian, which he was unfamiliar with. Wen Chao had an army, and one false step would result in the same thing happening to them that had happened to Wei Wuxian. Seeing the look on his face, Jiang Cheng demanded, "What, do you have a better idea?"
"No,"
Lan Wangji admitted. They couldn't even wait for reinforcements. With no idea where Wei Wuxian was or what kind of danger he was in, they couldn't afford to wait. They might not be able to get the information directly, but they might at least overhear something. Or if they could separate Wen Chao from Wen Chuliu, they might be able to persuade him to talk. It was incredibly risky, but they didn't have any options that weren't, aside from running back to Gusu. But he wasn't prepared to do that, and it was clear that Jiang Cheng wasn't either. "Then let's do it," Jiang Cheng said, his tone belligerent, clearly waiting for Lan Wangji's argument. Lan Wangji met his gaze.
"Let's do it."
"Hold on, Wei Ying. We're coming for you."
Something was wrong. They were only about a half mile away from Lotus Pier. Lan Wangji could see the lights up ahead, but he suddenly felt colder than ever. He staggered and used Shouyue to stay on his feet. Jiang Cheng half-turned, his brow furrowed in concern.
"Hung, do you want revenge?"
He could hear screaming, but it wasn't a human voice. It wasn't a voice at all, but dark, resentful energy twisted around his heart, squeezing the breath out of him. "What's wrong?" Jiang Cheng hissed.
"Wei Ying,"
Lan Wangji choked out.
"No, no, no."
"Wei Wuxian, do you want revenge?"
"No, no, 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 no."
"Yes."